The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness. Now, in its 28th year, your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor. And while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
Here's a few funny cartoons. One has the doctor examining the patient. The patient is lying on his stomach, and he says, "Oh, the pain in your backside can only be relieved by removing your wallet." And another one, there's a cartoon of a psychiatrist's office, and the patient's about to lie on the couch, you know, the so-called psychiatrist's couch or therapy couch, and above the head area of the bed or the couch is it's a computer screen with a dollar sign. So I guess it ticks off by the minute. The more time, the more money that the psychiatrist makes. Anyway, this is one doctor's appointment that doesn't cost you a thing, so there's no insurance required. And the best part of all is you don't have to pull down your pants or take off your clothes for this painless injection of health information, which we do each and every week at this time. And we thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your weekend, which we do hope to make strong and healthy with the information we have for you this morning. It's the Snowman with you, your happy, humble health stylist host, here to keep you cool and healthy. And in this segment of the program, in this hour, Sally Peckstein, a registered dietitian nutritionist from the Pacific Cancer Foundation, will have all the facts you need to know to cook your way to a cancer-free lifestyle. And we'll talk about what diet is the best to follow if you have cancer, or to prevent it, or if you have had it, to prevent a recurrence. So we'll give you a lot of recipe ideas and practical advice on nutrition and its connection to cancer. One of the things I want to talk about is sugar. You know, a lot of people think of eliminating sugar to lose weight or to prevent tooth decay, but it also feeds cancer, and it has a dramatic effect, or can have a dramatic effect on the either the replication or recurrence or reduction of cancer incidence. So we'll talk about that. And what about the paleo diet and the keto diet? Are those cancer promoting or are they cancer reducing diets? We'll talk about that, as well as vegetarian diets and other types of eating plans. So that's coming up after a few features. And more news, and let's go to the fitness file right now. Speaking of fitness news, okay, let's see. Here's fitness tip of the week. If you're on the path to improve your fitness, this is one of our Snowman Says quotes, and if you're on the path to improve your fitness, be sure not to take the path of least resistance. Think about it. That's why they call it weight training, right? Resistance exercise. The more resistance, the more results. And I might say to also another Snowism that I've said from, I think, the first show 28 years ago, and that is to escalate your level of fitness by walking up and down the escalators. There's nothing that gets me more than that's one of my pet peeves, is seeing people just standing there and riding up the escalator or down the escalator. That's even worse. You know, if you can't even walk downstairs, you just don't look at escalators as what they are. You just see them as stairs. In fact, an escalator can never be broken. It just turns into stairs, right? All right, so walk up those escalators as well as the stairs. Okay, this is interesting. Now, a lot of you resist the formal you know, the formal setting of a gym. But if you're trying to make exercise stick and it seems to be failing, you might want to change your the location of your workouts. This is interesting information from Iowa State University. They compared gym rats or gym members against non-members and found that the gym participants or patrons excelled in every respect. I'll just run by a few of these, run these by you. They're 14 times more aerobically active than non-members. This is probably the most interesting statistic, and if this isn't a reason to join a gym, I don't know what is. The average gym member, the waist size of an average gym member is 1.5 inches smaller for members than non-members. So your waist, you know, providing you go to the gym, of course, and not just use it as a bragging right, but actually participate in going to the gym. But you'll have a 1.5 inch smaller waistline and a better heart health. The average beats per minute, your pulse rate goes down by 5 beats per minute, lower heart rate than non-members. So that's good news. All right, the ketogenic diet, you've heard of that. That's all the rage. And this is interesting information from the Nutrition and Metabolism Journal. It might be best for endurance athletes to say no to keto. They're finding that they ran out of gas before, or actually faster in different cycling tests and other measures of fitness than if they had not been on a keto diet. So if your sport involves bursts of intensity that last for more than an hour, they advise against the ketogenic diet. All right, let's see. Let's go to matters of sexual health. All right, talk about breast cancer, obesity-related or associated breast cancer, and we're going to talk about cancer with Sally Peckstein in just a few minutes. But there's a strong association between increased body mass index and higher breast cancer incidence in postmenopausal women, especially. Obese women, they say, are at a higher risk of all-cause and breast cancer-specific mortality when compared to non-obese women with breast cancer. And also the role of alcohol. These were findings in last year, 2017 study, revealed that in women 65 and over, lifestyle factors were, associated with greater risk of breast cancer. Okay, yeah, so the if they had lifetime alcohol intake, they had a 79% increase in breast cancer, high body mass index, 83% increase, so obesity was even worse than drinking alcohol, and then low level of physical activity, a 31% increase in incidence of breast cancer. And we'll talk more about that with Sally Peckstein. All right, elsewhere in matters of sexual health in men, why fewer guys are getting circumcised. 1 in 3 men around the world are circumcised, but it's interesting that in America it's still over, 50%. Yeah, 58%, although that was in 2010, 65% back in 1979, so it is coming down. So about half, a little more than half, are circumcised, but very uncommon in countries like the UK, and it's also rare in Latin America and Asia and Europe, most European countries. But in 2013, the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, reported for the first time the circumcision rates had dropped. And it could come with health benefits. They talk about decreased risk of STIs and UTIs, the sexually transmitted infections. But many experts, including the American Academy of Pediatrics, say that these perks aren't necessarily, they don't outweigh the risks, because the potential side effects, such as bleeding and infection and lost sensitivity over time, are not worth the benefits, you know, and it's all about hygiene. So, you're doing it without a person's consent. I mean, a baby boy is not going to, you know, if he had a say in the matter, it might be a much lower incidence of circumcision. So anyway, all right. And you have to, if you're having a son, I want to mention this. Evaluate the pros and cons of this if you are planning on having children, especially if you have a boy. All right. Okay. And let's go finally to the Funny Bone Pharmacy. If we have that, let's see. Here we go. All right. How about this one? Common sense is a flower that does not grow in everyone's garden. All right. Unfortunately, that's true. Here's a sign on a wall. Life is hard. It's harder if you're stupid. I'd have to agree with that one. Let's see. I saw this on a luggage tag. You know how people put tags on their luggage so that it looks different from all the other black bags on the luggage carousel at the airport. This one is a ID tag and that you put on your suitcase with a strap. It says, "You won't look good in my clothes." Discouraging anybody from taking your suitcase. "You won't look good in my clothes." All right. How about this this quote? "I'm way more fun when I'm off my meds." Well, some people are, I guess. Let's see. I've mentioned this one before. "My exercise routine consists of doing diddly squats." Don't do real squats, do diddly squats. "I don't make mistakes too often, but when I do, it's your fault." Oh, here's one that's more health related than that. "The more you weigh, the harder you are to kidnap. So stay safe and eat cake." Okay. And finally, one of my favorites. Well, actually, there's two more. "Exercise makes you look better naked. So does alcohol. Your choice." I think I'll pick exercise since the alcohol does wear off. And then finally, my favorite for all you binge watchers out there, binge TV watchers. Here's a glass. I guess it's a big wine glass. Oh, yeah. Okay. And it says, "Training for a marathon on Netflix." That's perfect for you binge watchers out there. Okay, that's it for these features of this segment of the show. And when we come back, we'll have Sally Peckstein talking about nutrition and cancer. So stick around if you want to stay healthy. And if you can't stay around all hour long, you can always listen to us tonight on the rebroadcast at 9 p.m. on the station you're listening to right now. Or after today's show, you can always go to drhealthradio.com. That's D-O-C-T-O-R, healthradio.com. Stick around. I'm David Snow, and this is Dr. Health Radio.
Hey, hon, dinner's almost ready.
Hey, let me out of here. Hey, what about using me, Thermi? You need a food thermometer to be safe.
Yeah, what about Thermi?
Oh, honey, I know by the color when it's done.
Colors can be wrong. People could get sick. Hamburgers that look done sometimes aren't cooked enough.
We learned it at school.
All right.
Remember, it's safe to bite when the temperature is right.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. It's me, your immune system. I'm always hard at work defending you against the many disease-causing viruses and bacteria that you are exposed to every day. But sometimes I need help to defeat the bad bugs. Luckily, our friends at Kyolic have come to the rescue. Kyolic has two super immune-enhancing supplements, Kyolic Immune Formula 103 and Kyo Green Harvest Blend Immune Defense. Kyo Green Harvest Blend is a power-packed blend of organic and naturally sourced grasses, ancient grains, fruits, veggies, herbal extracts, and spirulina in a fast-dissolving drink mix for a quick and easy way to support immunity. Kyolic Immune Formula 103 combines immune-boosting nutrients with aged garlic extract. Aged garlic extract has been clinically shown to support a healthy immune response and reduce both the duration and severity of cold and flu symptoms. Help me protect you with Kyolic supplements and nutritional drink mixes to fortify your immune health today. Available at Fine Natural Health Retailers.
Welcome back to your weekly dose of verbal vitamins. David Snow on your radio. In this hour of the program, nutrition and cancer. What should you do to prevent cancer? If you want to eat to prevent cancer. Also, if you had it, have it or have had it in the past, what's the best diet to follow to prevent a recurrence? Sally Peckstein is with us. She joins us. She's a a registered dietitian nutritionist from the Pacific Cancer Foundation on the island of Maui, and she'll have all the facts you need to know to cook your way to a cancer-free lifestyle, and we'd like to welcome her to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Sally. How the health are you?
Hi, David. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Excellent, thank you. Now, let's first of all set the stage and talk about some of the statistics or the stats on cancer in America. What are some of the statistics? I know that the American Cancer Society likes to say that cancer is being reduced, but, you know, by single-digit percentages. I mean, it's still one of the leading causes of death, and there are many cancers, many kinds or types of cancers that are growing in prevalence. So can you give us an overview on that?
Sure, sure. So let's start actually with the good news, which is 40% of all cancers are preventable, right? And so more of what we're going to talk about today and diet and weight and physical inactivity. So let's start there. But yeah, in Hawaii, actually, there are over 6,000 new cases each year. And the types of cancer that we see the most of are breast, lung, colorectal, and prostate.
Now, is that just in Hawaii, or is that nationwide? Because we also broadcast to the West Coast, so let's include them in this picture.
Yep. That is actually that was Hawaii, but also we do see those four as the top cancer types in the United States,
right.
Actually.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
And how many types of cancer are actually affected by nutrition? I would say a majority of them, or is it what percentage, or what specific types of cancer can we use nutrition to either reduce the occurrence of, or even in the treatment as an adjunct to the treatment of cancer?
Yeah, I'd say probably a rough estimate, and I can give you some more details, but the first rough estimate is somewhere upwards of 15 to 20 types of cancer. So if you look at it, kind of if you break it down by the findings that were that research is coming up with, just looking at weight alone, so being overweight or obese, there's an increased risk of 12 types of cancers just for overweight and obese.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're, you know, listeners kind of want a sense of that, the esophageal, pancreas, certainly the colorectal cancers, postmenopausal breast cancer, prostate cancer, stomach cancer, and the list kind of goes on. But those are all just associated with being overweight or obese.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at, I'm going to throw alcohol in because it's something that we drink, which is, you know, although it's not nutritive, it is something that we, you know, is part of our lifestyle and what we put in our mouth. And so
it's not part of my lifestyle, by the way. Speak for yourself, Sally.
Okay.
But we'll take it. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So for those who choose to drink.
Yes. Okay. There we go. That's well put.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It is known to be a cause of six types of cancer, mostly of the mouth, the esophagus, the voice box, but also the liver, the breast, and again, colorectal cancer.
Mm.
So, you know, it's really, if people are kind of thinking about not taking alcohol, cutting their consumption, if they do, you know, choose to drink, really good idea. Really, really good idea.
Plus, you know, from the obesity standpoint, alcohol is a chief source of calories. I mean, like you said, it's non-nutritive, yet it is caloric, so it's 7 calories per gram, more than carbohydrate or fat, not quite as much as fat, which is 9 calories per gram. But it's an appreciable amount, or it's a contributor to our caloric intake. I mean, the average glass of wine or a can of beer or a bottle of beer has about 150 calories, I think.
Right. Right. Yeah, really good point. Really, really good point. Lots of good reasons to just cut that out and switch over to something that's much more healthy, like a water or even a sparkling water or something like that. Get your refreshment that way.
Yeah. Now,
go ahead. No, go right ahead.
No, I was going to say, are those most of the statistics, or should we talk about some of the problems with our American diet besides too many calories and obese. I mean, there's also things that contribute to cancer that are connected to diet, like barbecued meats and different additives in the foods that can be carcinogenic. Of course, molds that are naturally occurring that can also be carcinogens, you know, aflatoxins, things like that, although not as common a cause of cancer widespread. But let's talk about some of the problems with our American diet as you, from a nutritionist standpoint, see, you know, looking from your point of expertise.
Right. So that's so the ones that you brought up are all under study, being studied, and definitely things to think about and to cut back on. Just eating a diet with too much meat in it is not a great idea. Mm-hmm. The American Institute for Cancer Research, which is one of my favorite sources, that's AICR.org, great source of information. And what they encourage us to do is just look at your plate, look at how much you eat, and make that two-thirds coming from plant foods. Two-thirds. That is very, very different from the typical American diet, where we take in generally too much meat, saturated fat, lots of added sugars. And then, as you were saying earlier, that contributes to rates of obesity, which really increase your rate or your risk of cancer.
Yeah. And as I always say, less eggs, more eggplant, you know, I mean, which gets the point across, more, less animals, more plants. Yeah. And eat what the animals
exactly.
eat instead of, you know, why not be a first-hand vegetarian instead of a second-hand vegetarian? You know, a lot of people say, well, yeah, I'm a vegetarian. I mean, cows eat grass and I eat the cows. But it's not. You don't want to be a second-hand vegetarian. You want to be a first-hand so that you eat what the animals eat. Even though, you know, we're not saying that you can never eat animal foods, but... But, you know, like you said, the percentage or the portions and the percentages of our diet are what are most important. And really, even in ancient times, like, that's a good segue to talk about the paleo diet, because, you know, people think of that as the Flintstone diet or the caveman diet, where, you know, the ancient men were carrying around big drumsticks and, you know, just eating nothing but meat and different animal foods, and that they didn't eat any plants. And it couldn't be further from the truth.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's, I think, you know, when you look at, there's so, well, first of all, there's just so much information available to us. Some of it is good information. A lot of it is not great information. But I think if you look at a major research, a very sort of conventional research organization that's saying two-thirds of your diet should come from plant foods, that says a lot, actually. So you can, you know, no matter your relationship to meat or your family or your culture's relationship to meat, if that's been a part of your life for a long time. And I mean, when I say meat, I mean all types of flesh foods. It's just, you know, it's a bit eye-opening to say, okay, so this isn't just kind of an agenda being pushed here. It's really, we're really looking deep into the research of it. I'd love to talk about the phytonutrients at some point in our talk
today. Sure. Mm-hmm.
And just to kind of clarify to people too, you know, a plant-based diet is not just, you know, eat lots of fruits and veggies. You know, our grandmothers used to tell us that, and they were right on, but also just where our carbohydrates come from. So looking at whole grains versus the refined stuff, looking at legumes like beans and lentils. If you look at a lot of cultures around the world, their diets are based in legumes. And then some that are kind of overlooked, which I really like to talk to people about, are spices and herbs.
Right.
Nuts as snacks and seeds. Nuts and seeds make great snacks. And I'm sure some of your listeners might be giggling. That kind of sounds like something a bird would eat. But if you kind of make the switch and start snacking on things like that, it's amazing how delicious they are and they fill you up and So there's a lot of reasons to kind of switch over to a plant-based diet. We're talking about cancer today, but there are lots of other chronic diseases that do very well with a plant-based diet.
No doubt about that. Now, if I switch to bird food, will I be able to fly and sing?
Exactly.
That would be nice.
The jury is out on that one. I just have a crystal ball, as I tell my patients. But if you do, will you please let us know?
Okay, you'll be the first to know. Getting back to the to the paleo diet, Sally, I have some information here from the 1970s. And the paleo diet, it turns out, is nothing new. Of course, it's ancient. But as far as popularizing it, back in the 70s, the paleo craze, it was called the prehistoric diet. So it's just been repackaged and remarketed.
Go ahead. And that just happens over and over.
Right, exactly. Sure. It's recycled. And, you know, by the way, even if that was the best diet to follow, and, you know, we're not here to judge you, we're here to nudge you into the habits of better health, but, you know, choose the diet you want to follow. But realize this, and that is our ancestors who ate more meats and heavier foods, they were also much more physically active and they worked harder, you know, physically. I mean, we have so many labor-saving devices in our modern society that we're only a fraction as physically active as we once were. And that's why, one reason obesity is such a epidemic. But from a diet standpoint, they burned off, you know, like sugars, you know, you burn off the sugars. If you eat a fair amount of sugar, but you're very physically active, it's going to have a minimal deleterious effect on your health because your body is metabolizing it, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think that is such a good point for people to remember, is that we are not living the lifestyle of people in, you know, we're not cave people.
Right.
And, you know, think about, like, just as you were painting that picture, I had an image in my mind of, you know, as a hunter-gatherer millennia ago, your sweet would come from some berries that you would get occasionally, once a year, right? And so think of all the sweet in our diet now, and just how easily accessible things are and how we don't move. And so,
that's right.
You know, it's tempting to kind of look at a diet like that, but you have to look at all of the factors, honestly. And then just a little word on physical activity. It has actually been researched and delineated that postmenopausal breast cancer and colorectal cancer and endometrial cancer are all, you are at a much higher risk of those cancers if you do not get good physical activity.
Right.
So, you know, in these lists, you know, the lists that I've been giving you along the way here, these are, the research is being re-looked at, meta-analyses are being done every few years or so, and the new guidelines are being put out, and it's amazing how much we're learning, you know, year by year. So,
now, what diet, let me put you on the spot, Sally, what diet do you follow personally?
Oh my gosh. I have been a vegetarian. So I've been a vegetarian since I was 13.
Really? Wow.
And I've had all, I've had all kinds of.
And you're still alive. I mean, how did you, what a miracle.
Yeah, and I have to say that it kind of morphed over time. It started with red meat, and then actually I became a full vegetarian in my 20s. And, you know, I do allow some seafood now, and, you know, I'm much more liberal with it in my midlife than I was as a kind of a tried and true vegetarian in my 20s. But
the zealous years, right? That's how I was zealous. You know, I was so judgmental about, by the way, I was, we lived parallel diet lives here. I was a vegetarian for 30 years from about 20 to 50, and then I started eating fish, or now I'm a pesco vegetarian, I guess, but I've been eating fish for the last almost 15 years. So, that's interesting that you were also a vegetarian, and then you started incorporating some fish or seafood into your diet as well.
Yeah, and I think your point is so good. Like I think I decided along the way that I was going to listen to my body and not go with whatever dogma or
my
pronouncements at what my diet was about. Mm-hmm. And like I talk about with my clients, you know, everybody's got a relationship to food. Everybody's got very strong opinions. And the most important thing, I think, is that we really learn to listen to our bodies. And how does your body feel when you eat certain foods? You know, because a lot of us are on autopilot for years. And so, you know, to kind of do a little bit of a reboot or just kind of go back and just think about, well, am I feeling sluggish after I eat this? Am I feeling more energized? Am I feeling energized, but is my energy tanking in 20 minutes? What is that? And starting to kind of do a little inquiry is really, really helpful. And I think, you know, just talking about diet changes and prevention of cancer,
mm-hmm.
if you start kind of paying attention, your body's not going to lie to you. And so, you know, just to be open to that, I think is a really, really important thing.
Although on the flip side, let me take issue with that, and that people can sure. also misjudge or they're not reading the signals or signs of what they're eating properly, and that people have a warped sense of cravings, and you know they'll say, "Oh, whatever I crave, that's what my body needs." Well, we have so many unnatural foods in our diet that cause craving from the act of eating the food itself, and the different food additives, sodium and acetate and MSG and different things that are added to our processed foods that make us want to eat more. Of course, the natural things, salt and sugar, are the two biggest offenders, even though they're so-called natural. But that gives people a distorted sense of that they're eating for their health because, I crave these salty foods or sweet foods. And also the fact that people don't equate long-term eating habits with, you know, just because it doesn't make you, like you were talking about foods that can prevent cancer, you can't feel the food's working to prevent cancer. You know, you can only feel maybe the energy level that it gives you or, the sugar rush that a candy bar would give you. But you have to be aware that the long-term consequences of things, it's kind of like changing the oil in your car. That's one analogy I use. It doesn't necessarily run faster or better right off the bat, but it's going to last longer and over a period of time. So I guess that's the hardest thing to convey to people as far as wanting to follow a healthy, clean diet and then the exceptions to the rule and everything in moderation. Well, if you eat moderately toxic, fattening foods, you're only going to be moderately healthier. You might be moderately sick. So that's a whole different program. But anyway, we'll come back with more information for your good health with Sally Peckstein, and we're going to talk about the keto diet as well as phytonutrients and superfoods and other foods to enhance your cancer-free lifestyle here on The Healthiest 2 Hours on Radio. I'm David Snow, wherever you're listening to us right now. So stay with us as Dr. Health Radio continues.
Do you sometimes suffer from gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation, diarrhea, or irritable bowel syndrome? You need to know about the Friendly Foursome. Master Supplements, the leaders in safe and effective intestinal health products, offer 4 supplements that may reinvent your intestinal tract. First, there's Theralac, America's fastest acting medical strength probiotic. Find out why Theralac's regular customers become, regular customers. Just go to theralac.com for more information. Then there's True Fiber, clinically proven to improve regularity as well as lowering cholesterol. True Fiber is also uniquely formulated to stimulate probiotics. Third in the Friendly Foursome is Enzylase, the strongest enzyme available. With high potencies of 12 different digestive enzymes, Enzylase makes short work of fatty meals and dairy products, as well as normally gas-producing foods such as beans. Finally, there's True Flora, the fastest-acting bio-cleansing probiotic. True Flora is so potent, the recommended dose is only 2 per week. This is the premier traveler's supplement. Don't go on a trip without taking True Flora. See the Friendly Foursome of Master Supplement products at your favorite natural food store. Theralac, True Fiber, Enzalaze, and True Flora for the best intestinal health of your life.
Did you know that you have three brains? Yes, you heard right. Exciting new research reveals you have three brains: your head brain, your heart brain, and your gut brain. These three brains are like an orchestra with billions of neurons working together to create a harmonic symphony. This intricate relationship between these three brains impacts your mental, emotional, and physical health. The Three Brain Supplements from Natural Factors is a bold new innovation in mental health. It provides a whole-body approach to balance brain health and well-being. Start with the Three Brains Total Kit, which includes five supplements that are essential for three brain health. The kit provides foundational support for all three of your brains. Then, depending on your unique needs, choose from Higher Thoughts to enhance brain performance, Mental Sunshine for healthy mood balance, Serene Mind to relieve stress-related fatigue, or The Best Sleep for restful sleep. Learn more at threebrainshealth.com.
His name is Mr. Snow, and an upstanding man is...
It is Mr. Snow on your radio. We are clinically proven to raise your health IQ levels. We are your audio source for the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness. And today we're talking about nutrition with our guest, Sally Peckstein, a registered dietitian nutritionist. From let's talk about where she's from. Sally, if you would, talk about the foundation that you work for there on Maui, the Pacific Cancer Foundation.
Sure. The Pacific Cancer Foundation, we are, our main mission is to support people who are going through the disease and also their caregivers, their loved ones. And so here on Maui, you know, it's an adjunct to the other kinds of the treatment and the whole sort of medical realm around cancer. What we do is we come in with nutrition services, with patient navigation, helping people with transportation, perhaps issues around insurance. We act as a liaison between them and their medical care teams. We offer support groups. We offer wellness classes every week. We offer workshops, wellness workshops monthly. So we're just really trying to give people support as they go along this journey of cancer.
That's excellent. Thank you for doing what you do. Now, I know you give courses mm-hmm. also to the community where people can take, it's kind of a cooking course, or they have recipe ideas and menu suggestions. And you have quite an extensive program over there. It's very comprehensive, where you have meal and menu planning for a week. You usually recommend people do it by the week. Is that it? Or at least a few days at a time?
I would. I think most of us are in sort of a fly by the seat of our pants kind of mode, and it's much easier and it just works to eat healthier when you plan a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so to just take some time, maybe on the weekend, to plan out, what does the week look like? Do I have, you know, am I going to be out late a couple of nights, or late evenings at work? And so when are the evenings that I'm really not going to be able to put much together when I get home? So make sure you're set up for that. Make sure you, you know, you can batch cook. You can make soup, make stews and dishes in advance, and then freeze them, or at least have them in the fridge for you know, several days, that you can kind of eat on them for lunch and or for dinner. What we do in my house is we create a chop, a massive chopped vegetable extravaganza that we just cover real well, and we put in the fridge, and we literally can eat on it for days, for lunch,
oh,
dinner.
Really?
Adding different components to it. You can throw it into a saucepan as a stir fry at night. And it just, boy, it really helps. It really helps, you know, get those veggies in, and just makes it easy.
I think there's a misguided sense of priorities, because a lot of mothers or wives or whoever's the chef of the house, they'll spend, you know, they'll have 16, 20 ingredients in a main dish, such as a meat-centered dish. But then the vegetables or the salad consists of lettuce and tomato, two ingredients. And I was reading a celebrity's, it was a health celebrity from Hollywood, and she had this salad recipe, and it was 18 different ingredients, and it was just all the superfoods, you know, kale and broccoli and carrots and radishes and beets and all that. And people don't realize that, you know, salads are, ideally, you want them, as far as nutrition, you want them to be a lot more varied than just a slice of tomato and a leaf of lettuce, that's for sure. Yeah. And then getting back to the soups, I know that you really highly recommend this Instapot. That's all the rage. It's like the old crock pots being modernized or for the 21st century. Tell us about what an Instapot is and why it makes it so easy to cook everything.
Okay. Well, first of all, it's instant pots.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry.
It's so tempting to call it the Instapot, and I probably have been guilty of that myself.
Okay.
I certainly don't work for the Instant Pot people. Instant Pot really is a pressure cooker. So it's not a slow cooker, though it can be a slow cooker, but it really is a pressure cooker. So it cuts down on the time that it takes to create those, you know, if you imagine the soup your mom used to make, right? It would be on the stove all day long.
Sure.
Flavors are melding. Well, with the pressure cooker, it really cuts that time drastically, actually. What's nice about it is you can saute in it. And so you can kind of get your things, your onions and garlic, and kind of get some things sauteed and then start adding to it. Add your fluid to it, whatever that's going to be, your broth or whatever, and then you put on that lid and turn it over to the ceiling, the little valve to the ceiling mode, and let it do its thing. And it's pretty cool. There's a little bit of a
time delay. Or?
Shoot. No, yeah, there's definitely a time delay. There's a little bit of a it takes some time. There's an intimidation factor at first because it's a pressure cooker, right? And so it just takes a few maybe times of using it to realize this thing is really easy.
And it's not like the pressure cookers of old, right? Because I mean, you know, there are reports of cabbage on the ceiling of people had accidents with their pressure cookers, you know, decades ago.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's where the intimidation comes from. I've heard stories about people kind of getting it out of the box and putting it on the counter and going, okay, I'm not sure about this. So if, you know, you are a person that has one and hasn't really used it, or you've been hearing people talking about it, it's a great tool to help you bring healthy cooking more front and center into your life. And there are lots of resources out there. There are Facebook groups with like thousands and thousands of people who are sharing their recipes and their ideas. So anyway, it's a great tool.
Instant Pot and other great tools for shortcuts in the kitchen and to eat a cancer-free diet or a diet that is conducive to you know, reducing your incidence of cancer, and that is things like the blenders, which you know, can make superfood smoothies and things like that. There are the immersion blenders that you use with your hand instead of having to have a big not a tank, but you know, the canister. And then rice cookers, food processors. So, do you have all those in your kitchen as well?
I do. Let's see, I don't have a slow cooker, but I have the Instant Pot. I definitely use a bullet type of thing to make smoothies.
Right. Bullets, yeah.
I like to juice, you know, so I have a juicer.
Uh-huh.
But the immersion blender that you mentioned, that's great. You pull that lid off of your Instant Pot or even your slow cooker and put that in there, you know, your immersion blender, you just get a beautiful creamy soup just, you know, in minutes. And then the food processor is really nice because you can do one of the tricks to eating healthfully over the week is to cut up veggies, the ones that will last well, when well sealed in the fridge. Cut those up in advance. Cut them up when you get back from the stores. Take a little bit of time to wash and prep them. And, you know, pat them dry nicely and stuff. Get them in a sealed container And then there's really, and then have them in your fridge, not down in the nether regions of the crisper drawers.
Oh, but right. Yes, exactly. Front and center,
but,
yeah.
A food processor can help that.
Mm-hmm. And I also have, I always have baby carrots in my vegetable drawer in the refrigerator so that they're easy to just rinse and eat. They're already, you know, portioned out. I mean, they're just bite-sized baby carrots that everybody's familiar
right.
with those. And by the way, they're not baby
right.
carrots. They're not. They don't start life as
you.
A baby carrot. A lot of people think, oh, they're
right.
they just grow these little carrots and then they clean them and wash them and package them. But it's they're actually big carrots and they're just put through a machine to hone them down into the little 2-inch long carrots that you see in the bags. But that's another program. Anyway, let's. We only okay. have. We're up against Dick Allgaier's health report. So when we come back, I want you to give us a recipe for overnight oats. And this is an interesting, delicious breakfast that is very easy to make. And you make it the night before, and there's not much to make it. It's very time-saving and satisfying the next morning. So we'll talk about that. And then also when we come back, Sally, I want to ask you about sugar and how that can feed cancer as well as other diseases. I have some interesting information on not only sugar, but also artificial sweeteners and how they can affect your health. So stick around for that with my guest, Sally Peckstein, talking about nutrition and its relationship to cancer. Back right after this as Dr. Health Radio continues.
Almost 1 in 5 active duty male soldiers in 2015 was obese, and about half of them were overweight. Now, for the first time, the Army is calculating the costs of those added pounds. Army Dr. Major Brian Shiozawa has led the effort, and what he found is that obese soldiers used almost double the medical resources than normal weight soldiers in almost every medical category. Fat soldiers. In the U.S., more than 1 in 7 people take antidepressants. The Portsmouth Institute of Marine Biology is now saying our aquatic life is bathing in a soup of antidepressants. Antidepressant and anti-anxiety medications are found in sewage, surface water, groundwater, drinking water, soil, and in wildlife tissues. Said one scientist, they're found in seawater and rivers with the ability to disrupt the normal biological system of aquatic organisms. Wow. Netflix knows it has a grip on viewers. The average subscriber streamed 50 minutes of Netflix every day last year. The head of Netflix admits the network is competing with sleep. Now, clinical psychologists are treating people who are diagnosed with being depressed using Netflix to cope with life problems and depression. It's a real problem. I'm Dick Allgaier. That's this week's Health Report.
Do you own a dog or a cat? Then you need to know that Noni, Hawaii's most popular medicinal herb for people, can also be used for pets. In fact, thousands of pet owners give their animals Hawaiian Noni fruit leather regularly for energy, pain relief, digestion, and for their skin and coat textures. And for external use, pet owners rave about Hawaiian Health Ohana's lavender Noni lotion for wounds and infections, hot spots from fleas and ticks, and muscle and ligament strains. For more serious applications, there's the Instant Noni Aloe Bio Bandage, a natural salve with ingredients that form a protective healing barrier for maximum results. Natural healing for your pet, made from 100% pure organic Noni. Ask for the Noni Fruit Leather, Lavender Noni Lotion, or Noni Bio Bandage for pets at your nearest pet shop or health products retailer. And visit real-noni.com.
Welcome back to the show, David Snow on your radio. Thanks for joining us and making us a part of your weekend. We do it every week at this time on the station you're listening to right now. And you can always go to the website, doctorhealthradio.com. That's doctorhealthradio.com. All right, continuing our conversation with Sally Peckstein, registered dietitian nutritionist. Before we get back to her, let me share a few things about sugar that you might be or that you might find interesting. Over time, excess sugar consumption prevents our body from producing various anti-aging hormones. So if you are so addicted to it that you think, oh, you know, it's no big thing. But if you want to stay young and are taking hormones, you might be interested to know that it reduces your levels of human growth hormone, which is your anti-aging hormone, as well as testosterone. In fact, I saw one study where it reduced testosterone levels by up to 25%. And also diseases, heart disease, diabetes, and cancer, which we're talking about today. Also, they say that sugar addiction can eliminate from 11 to 20 years from a person's lifespan. That is astounding. That's more than smoking. I mean, sugar is the new smoking, really. And then studies on artificial sweeteners show that they lead to weight gain and even pre-diabetes. And we won't get into the chemical mechanisms or the biological or metabolic aspects of that. But saccharin and sucralose, saccharin is, 300 times sweeter than sugar. Let's not get into the toxicology. Oh, here's something interesting. Now, sucralose, which is the most common sweetener now for artificial sweeteners, 600 times sweeter than sugar. The drug sucralose originated as an insecticide, which is really eye-opening. And then what about the things like high fructose corn syrup and maltitol? Well, maltitol is 90% as sweet as sugar. It's chemically derived from maltose, but it uses a chemical reaction, hydrolysis, so it's not really natural. And so your sweeteners may not be as safe as you think. Okay, Sally, what's your view on artificial sweeteners in relation to or to use as a substitute for sugar?
I don't like them. I have worked with people with diabetes in the past, and I understand the interest in using them, but I don't really like them. And so I just encourage people to train their taste buds to, if they're going to have some sweet, go for the stuff that's a little better for us, like a dark chocolate or just a little bit.
Right.
Go for fruit, but not juice. So I don't promote artificial sweeteners. And I also, you know, back when we were talking about listening to your body, what I didn't say is your taste buds are not representative of listening
yes.
to your body.
Exactly.
Away from salt, we can train our taste buds away from sugar.
Right.
And then just take it in moderate amounts. But it's amazing how much we can change. We just have to have the willingness and the follow through to do that. But but I think it's a really good idea just to reduce our sugar intake, you know, quite a bit.
Well, and the hazards of sugar in relation to cancer, it feeds cancer cells. I mean, cancer loves sugar, right, as far as growing?
Well, cancer cells, so it's interesting. And, you know, this is a question that I get every week. And in terms of the research behind it, what we know is that sugar, which whether it's coming from a complex carbohydrate or a refined sugar like table sugar, is a source of glucose. And it is the preferred source of energy for the body and the brain. However, so we don't need it to come from table sugar. We can get our glucose through complex carbohydrates,
right.
grains and starchy vegetables and things like that. So the jury is out, but what we do on if sugar feeds cancer, cancer cells are going to divide no matter what. And they're dividing at a much faster rate than normal cells, but all of those cells need some glucose. And so if you starve your body of carbohydrate, then a process called gluconeogenesis is going to happen and your protein's going to break down. And so, to get the glucose to feed your cells. And so what I would say for people with cancer or loved ones of people with cancer is cut down on your sugar intake as best as you can, but don't vilify it.
Yeah.
And certainly, as a supporter of someone going through cancer, sometimes those sweetened foods when you're going through chemotherapy
sure.
are the foods that are the ones that are palatable. It's just important not to judge.
Well, that brings me to my next question: the keto diet, which is high fat, low sugar, low carbohydrate diet. What is your opinion on that as a nutritionist?
The keto diet is, from my vantage point, it's a diet that's been used for and shown to be effective for children with epilepsy.
Yeah, right.
I look at it in that regard. I'm not a follower of any kind of what I call fad diets, mm-hmm. diets that are not looking at a nice variety of
a balance, yeah.
Foods.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
The balance and the variety for me is key. So,
okay. All right. We just have a few more minutes, so let me run down these questions.
Sure.
If someone's diagnosed with a disease of cancer, no matter what kind of cancer it is, how do you typically change their diet dietary program at the Pacific Cancer Foundation?
It depends on what they're coming with.
Okay.
So what I do is I read that person, and wherever they are. So cancer is quite a journey to deal with, and so the last thing I'm going to do is kind of give a mandate on you must do this, you must do that. I'm going to try to steer people towards the diets that we've been talking about, really a plant-based healthy diet. And then take into consideration all the other stuff that's going on, taste changes and appetite loss and all of that. So,
all right. On that note, Sally, we didn't get to the overnight oats recipe. Is there on your website? No. Can we access the recipe on the website?
We will put that up next week. Actually, we'll put it on our Facebook page. So if you go to pacificcancerfoundation.org on Facebook, we can put it there.
Great. Pacific Cancer Foundation.
And it's all over the internet as well.
Okay, great.
PacificCancerFoundation.org. And then overnight oats are, Google overnight oats and have fun. Try them. They're
all
great.
All right. Great. Well, thank you so much for being there and doing what you do, and keep it up. And please keep us abreast of any new developments in the field of nutrition as it relates to cancer.
Thanks, David.
There goes Sally Peckstein from the Pacific Cancer Foundation. And here we go with another edition of the program. Join us again next week, same time, same station. Thanks for joining us. Aloha.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.